running if it's live yet or not. Now it says it's live. Hello, everyone. Hold on to your goggles. It is time for the epic engagement adventure. You know what this time is, and I know, and you know me. Who you don't know is my friend Natasha. Listen, we met months ago on a phone call, and we had the grandest time talking about business, talking about things that we believe in, talking about impactful storytelling. We covered the gamut, and in the middle of that, I knew I must have her on this podcast because she's fascinating. And so I would love for you to help me welcome Natasha. Natasha, hey, so great to have you on the adventure with me. Tell me everything about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Well, that was a very warm welcome. Thank you so much, RJ. I'm so excited to be here. Gosh, where do I start? So I am currently dialing and sitting in from Columbia, South Carolina, although I am not from here originally. I'm actually from California. And I made the move out to Charleston, South Carolina. It's about 2 hours away from where I am sitting right now. Because I had an opportunity to join a publishing company and start working with CEOs and entrepreneurs who are looking to build and grow their thought leadership and do so by becoming a published author. And so not that my background is in publishing, I was actually working in 3D printing at the time, and a former manager and mentor of mine joined Forbes Books as CRO and brought me on because she saw how I was able to leverage personal branding and thought leadership with our CEO and other thought leaders in the 3D printing space. She thought I'd be able to translate that into the book publishing world. So there is a connection somehow there, but it was really an incredible experience. I got to work with, you know, very interesting people that wanted to tell their stories and, you know, drive impact and make changes through storytelling. So it was wonderful. I did end up leaving that about a year and a half in, just because I realized pretty quickly in that although a book is ultimately one of the top levels of authority, right? You can't actually spell authority without author. But if you're not engaging with an audience and communicating with your people, it doesn't matter how great your book is, no one will ever know about it, right? And so it kind of was one of those things where, like, how am I going to help my authors, the leaders I work with, tell their story in real time alongside their book with that? And so that's kind of where I'm at today.
I do think that, I mean, such the right move, because right now, I mean, a book as a standalone device, well, it's there. But incorporating it into the language you speak, incorporating it into your community, into different ways that you drive more people to you, it has got to be part of a system. It can't be just alone, because, I mean, times have changed. The way people engage with literature has changed, and we must change with it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, 5 years ago, a book was enough to differentiate you and or your business. But now there's so much content out there. There's so many ways to even publish a book now, unlike just traditional. There's hybrid self-publishing. It is more accessible. It's still challenging, of course. But there's just so much there that if you just did your book, again, no one will know about it.
Yeah. Well, and two, you know, we've become a lot, I think, more cognizant of how people learn things. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there are some people that, you know, still kind of give their classes in lecture format, you know, expect you to read and retain from a book. But it's so interesting to, you know, kind of take that book and then go, okay, how can I maybe create a learning experience out of what's in here? How can I, you know, maybe create a journey over here from what's in here? Now it's kind of like the, you know, the middle, that first building block, and then building things around that, building a system around that is so, I mean, it's vital. I would never publish a standalone book nowadays.
No, and that's a really great point too, because imagine there's so much content already there. Why not multi-purpose it and use it for other areas? So let's create a digital course out of your book.
Yes.
That's pretty interesting. Or let's take, each chapter and turn that into a podcast episode, right? There's so many ways to make sure that we use that content you have. You've already created it at this point. Or conversely, if you want to write a book, why not do that in real time while you're starting your podcast and creating a digital course and then publishing it, bits and pieces of that on social media, right? And start engaging with your audience. And then you're getting feedback in real time as well, right? So
Yeah.
it's just a really cool way of like, I need to come up with a better analogy, but it's like killing five birds with one stone. Do all
Oh,
these at the
yeah.
same time so that you get all this afterwards too.
It's that magic of interrelating, these topics and using social media to maybe test out certain ideas, using a blog to maybe develop some thoughts that are a little deeper than your average social media post. There's so many things that you can do, and it's like I have the opposite problem. I want to take advantage of all of these things. I would like to write a book that is also a graphic novel, and games are available, and at the bottom of every page there's a different QR code. I mean, that's the one I want to write, and unfortunately that'll probably take me how long do I have left on the earth? Probably that. So I actually have to cut down and like streamline some stuff so I can do something. But your philosophy around that, it just grabbed me because if you think about it, how many different ways are there to tell a story?
Exactly. And one of the things I guess that irks me with how things are done in the traditional realm of book publishing, especially business leaders who use ghostwriters, in my mind, I was like, gosh, like they're spending 4 hours a month, 3 hours a month with their ghostwriter. I'm like, that is quality content and precious time that we're not leveraging in other ways, right? Because especially since it's a conversation too, and you're speaking to a thought partner ultimately, like a lot more is dissected from those conversations, I'd say. And so like capture it, video, record it obviously, and then use that, get those pieces from it, like we'll probably do with this podcast now, right? And find those nuggets of gold that we can then push out and then explain more and dissect further. I mean, it's so much fun to see how many different ways we can use it. And also, our attention span these days, mine especially, right? I don't necessarily always listen to a full 30-minute podcast episode, but I do listen to a 60-second reel on Instagram or on LinkedIn, right? And that's going to get much more views, but then drive people back to the podcast that want to listen to the full thing. So it's just really cool to look at all the different ways you can take that limited time we have and amplify your voice that way.
Yeah, and amplify in a way that that's where the eyeballs are at. You kind of spoke of reels and stuff like that. I'm not a real person. No, I am a real person, but I don't use reels.
Someone with
And
money.
but I did find this piece of software. Well, actually, so I've had this piece of software for years. It's called Missing Letter. But what it does is it takes your blog post and it sucks different pull quotes out and puts them, kind of in different arrangements or whatever, and turns it into a social media posts, like a group of them. You can do like a 2 weeks bla 2 week blast that will take everything from your last podcast or your last blog post or whatever, and make it into several posts in succession that lead back to the blog post or the podcast or whatever. And to me, that's how we need to focus is, yeah, let's absolutely write those blogs and let's turn them into a book, but let's also put the stuff out there in different ways and different shapes and formats so that people can really get engaged with what we're saying and what we're doing long before we have a book on sale.
Exactly. Yeah. And with that too, we all consume and understand things differently too. So some quotes might resonate more than other quotes. It kind of reminds me of when I did an escape room. Have you done an escape room before?
Oh, you know I have. Tell
Okay.
me
So there's
about
so much
this.
fun. There's so much fun. So I went with four friends And I, you know, some of the puzzles I was able to solve pretty quickly, some they were, and they would try and explain to me. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you could try to explain to me for hours and it just didn't click for me, right? But it was all four of us with different ways of understanding and unlocking the puzzles that we were able to actually finally get out. And so having, you know, diverse mindsets and all that, like, just makes me realize always, like, we consume things differently and we understand things differently, we learn things differently. And so having different ways of actually putting that together for your audience is just key.
Yes, I mean it's absolutely key. We get so, you know, like you know, so many people will say, you know, well, I'll take you through the process and stuff like that. And some of them are really, really good at it, and some of them just kind of follow tradition because that's what's done. But to have somebody say, "Hey, have you considered this? Have you considered this?" To me, that's the key to making a book a real success, because it's a collection of ideas. The audience we're talking to, it's much more than one way to talk to everybody anymore. Now it's personalization, customization, and that's what you work in every single day.
Yeah. And think about it too. If you get somebody engaging with it that like has something really insightful that you can then actually bring into your story and then have them be part of your book, have them as a testimonial or a quote, right? And then when your book is launched, they're going to want to share it too with their audience because they're part of it.
Yeah. It's you know, I mean, it just the writing a book, especially, you know, from 5 years ago back, such a climbing the mountain process, you know. You need a Sherpa. You must have some oxygen available. I don't know, some Clif bars. I don't know what you need to climb a mountain. I've not done this, but such a insurmountable and like kind of really tough process. And not that the process isn't still, you know, challenging, but when you're thinking about putting things together in different ways, and getting ideas out there before, you know, we hit publish, I mean, it's just there's so much more adventure and fun to be had in that sort of a process rather than, all right, let's do this the traditional way. You know what I mean? I'm against
Yeah.
tradition anyway. I mean, you know
Yeah,
that.
right. Tell me about it. I mean, to be fair, that's part of maybe why I left the publishing space. I'm still helping authors write their book, let's say, and I want to tell their story, but I just felt constrained in the publishing realm, whether it be, you know, the traditional, which I was in the hybrid space, but it still felt very this, that, and that, like you have to go this route. There's just so many ways to do it. And I think, you know, making it more of a engaging experience that's not just with the ghostwriter, but sharing it in real time, doing these types of interviews, getting it out there. I mean, there's just better ways of doing it, I think, that are more impactful, that also then just help with your end goal, because typically a book is just one piece to a bigger mission, message, movement, right? And so focus on all that holistically, not just the book itself, right? And so I think that's part of why I was like, I need to figure out a better way to serve my leaders because I want to help them actually hit their goals, and that book is just one piece to it.
It's a one piece of a larger puzzle that you can get people engaging in from the very beginning. And why wouldn't you want to? Why
Yeah.
wouldn't you want to? I helped a lady, I think it was about 5 years ago, actually. She was writing a book about you know, some experiences that she had had, and I had recently seen was it John Grisham? I can't remember. He's a famous writer, dude. Anyway, he took the first chapter of his book, and you know, people usually circulate that in a PDF. Well, this person had taken the first chapter and he made it into a chat bot.
Oh.
And like, yeah, and in this first chapter, the there was a guy in a food truck, you know, making a recipe and some different things. And on this chat bot journey, you could go see the recipe. being made, or you could go this way and, you know, learn about this. And it helped people kind of take different paths, and it showed people in a different way. And to me, that was fascinating. So I created one for her, obviously, right? And it's just, it can be a really wonderful adventure. It doesn't have to be a boring slog. It can be such an impactful adventure, like you said before. I mean, a book to me is a collection of ideas.
Yeah.
Because my brain works the way it does, I can think of 13 ways to show you the same idea, which may have to be streamlined down with help, obviously. But yeah, I'm so fascinated by what you do. Tell me what's a great success story that you've had with a customer in the past year or two, where you've really gotten them to kind of think beyond the boundaries. Can you come up with something?
Yeah, for sure. I have these guys are really so fun to work with, actually, but I connected with them last year, and it's three, well, originally there was one, the CEO of this company. They built and exited an e-commerce site in 4 years at $200 million. And they wanted to start a new company like that. And initially it was like, you know, the way that they were able to do it during COVID especially was because they have a different view on leadership and on growth in general. And so they were going to actually start a whole other company, but they had this idea to write this book. And then we kind of worked with them and dissected a little bit more of like, well, what are your goals? What are you trying to do around this? And ultimately we, not only are they not doing a book just yet, that's in the works, but they've decided to pivot completely and actually create a whole firm, a growth firm around their philosophy. But their philosophy is so unique too, and we haven't launched it just yet, so I can't say it, but we actually helped with the naming of the company based on this thing that we saw in the background. They're like, well, we're like, what is that? And then they told the story behind it. And then our team came together like, that should be your thinking. It's, you know, around that specific thing. And since then we're working on their podcast. They're already have more customers than I think they could have imagined. And now the book is in the works as well too. But it's just, you know, three random dudes that came together and had this idea, and they wanted, the book was that draw. And a book typically is a door opener, I'd say, because who doesn't, yeah. You know, I think so many people, it's almost like Disneyland for adults. Like so many people, it's on their bucket list. Let's write a book. But that's not that first step typically. And so helping them understand, well, first, you know, what are your goals for the next 2 years, 2-5 years? And let's work towards that. And the book will come with that in time, of course, right? But I think there's just, you know, I don't want to say baby steps because we took some big steps actually. but it was just really fun to that. And we have this ongoing engagement with them where I have morning huddles with them, and we do, you know, their podcast recordings. We are building out their website. Like there's all these things that come with it, but it's just, it's fun to see that light bulb connect. It actually reminds me when I used to work in 3D printing, I was in a place where we were actually able to print for production. It wasn't just for prototyping. And so, sorry, I'm totally nerding out on this, but when I would speak with engineers and they would, I'd send them, you know, sample parts, and they'd look at this and like eyes were glistening, like, wait, this is for production. And I'm like, I know. So having those like light bulb moments where you're like, okay, this is actually like the right step. Like that's what I get to do pretty much every day. And it's really fun.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. I mean, to be able to use your creative muscles like that, that's the dream, you know, that's absolutely the dream. So how do you engage your audience? How do you, you know, once you've connected, how do you keep them involved in what you're doing and what your other clients are doing and your philosophy? Tell me something about how you keep people engaged.
Yeah, for sure. So, I might have to take you back a little bit to one of my first sales roles. I was a sales development representative, an SDR. So I did the 100 dials a day, smile and dial. It was like soul crushing, and I cried a lot.
Yes.
So, not that I would recommend that by any means, but what I learned from that is I am like pretty much the follow-up queen. If someone expresses any interest, I will always follow up until you tell me not to. So that's just like on the like technical side of things. But I started to share my, gosh, this is me a little bit with imposter syndrome, but I've started to share my thought leadership and philosophy on things on LinkedIn. And it's funny because it took me months and months and months to finally just hit that publish button and post things. But since I've done that, you know, I used to post, I was pretty much doing 7 days a week, which just became a little bit too much for me. But I'm probably at about 3 days a week. I share content on LinkedIn with my audience, and I comment on their stuff and vice versa. And there's that reciprocity. But I always am thinking, who am I talking to? And a lot of my clients don't publish yet on LinkedIn. They want to be doing that. And so I know that the people I'm speaking to are never going to engage with my posts, but they call me and say, that was for me, wasn't it? And
Yep.
I was like, it was. I wasn't calling you on it, but like, you got to do it because I was there too. And so a lot of it's really just trying to get out of your comfort zone and be posting on LinkedIn. And so I actually have a mindset around it. It's called sinvergüenza, which means no shame in Spanish. And the way that came about actually was because I used to, I lived in Argentina for 6 years. So I was supposed to go for just a few months, but after I really wanted to learn the language. And so after a few months of not making any progress because I was too scared to speak and make mistakes and sound stupid, I got really fed up with myself and I was like, you know what? Screw it. Sin vergüenza, no shame, no fear. I'm going to put myself out there and just start making mistakes and start speaking. And then suddenly, within a few weeks, I was basically fluent in Spanish. And so I kind of translated that to my fears of LinkedIn and sharing my thought leadership on to the world. And once I started to do that, I've been connecting very actively with more people than I could have imagined. And it's opened so many more doors than I could have believed either. You being one of them, right? So, I would say that's been my biggest way of engaging with my community is by speaking to them.
Well, and saying what you really are thinking, those that thought leadership that's been, under development for a long time. Brave, bold move, my friend. I think I mean, I applaud you for it. It's not as easy to do as some folks might think. I don't know if you've ever seen this video. It's on YouTube and it's a TED Talk. I forget the lady who gave it, but she said that in our culture, women are taught to be perfect and men are taught to be brave. Or girls and boys, she actually used. Girls are taught to be perfect, boys are taught to be brave. And so when it comes to making those brave steps sometimes, it's just, gosh, I would have said anything to myself to make me stop pushing that publish button because what if people disagree with you? Is somebody going to come bully you online? Are people going to come fun make fun of the way I look? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And I don't care. I don't care anymore because letting those things stop me from sharing my thought leadership, right or wrong. I do not claim to be right 100% of the time. Now that's egotistical. I will change my beliefs if I have enough evidence to do so. But getting out there and saying, hey, this is who I am, who thinks this way too, has brought me more like-minded people. More, not followers, but people to walk the road with than I ever thought was possible.
It's true, and that's the thing. It's not about the likes or the impressions or the connection numbers even. It's about building genuine relationships, right? Like that's what matters, not all of those analytics. And that's what I tell the people I work with. I'm like, don't get caught up in that because even like people who try and figure out the algorithm, it's like once you figure it out, it's gonna change anyway. It's like that's not what matters. Think about who you want to talk to and talk to them. And those that don't care what you have to say, then they're not someone you want to be talking with.
Exactly. And when you have, when you have your vision of who you want to be talking with and the vision of what, what you need to say to help them go, I relate over here. Now you're talking with the real people you wanted to talk through in the first place. It's not about getting a bunch of people, sifting through people who just want to, show up and, kick a tire. It's really about, talking and it's about, leading and traveling with your people. Mm-hmm. You understand that so much, Natasha. I just, it's part of the reason I love talking to you.
Yeah, it's likewise. It's so much fun to geek out about this so much. I think when we spoke last week, I just was like, I left the conversation smiling ear to ear because I was like, yes, somebody gets me.
Mission
and I
accomplished.
Did spend all weekend on ChatGPT, by the way. I did not leave my cave.
Oh, yeah. I know. I gave everybody, I gave her a prompt that I use over and over again for everything. And it's, I always have to be careful. It's like this prompt is like, okay, it can be totally magic for you, but just you need to cancel your plans for the weekend. And that's always how that one goes. I'm so glad to have you in my circle and just around, because yours are the ideas that are going to change the world, and they already have. The legacy you leave will be very, very different than the people that have come before you. And I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with me on my podcast. I know my people are going to love you. They don't have a choice. Well, I mean, they do, but I know that they will love you because of who you are. I just want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun. I mentioned earlier, I was a little bit nervous about being on here, but you made this so, being on a podcast in general, it's a little tough for me sometimes, but I really appreciate it. You made this a very safe place.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, excellent. Well, audience, my dear ones, my grasshoppers, we'll be back again next week. You know that we will be. The next event for me is Unmasking AI. We're going to do that in the first week of September on Wednesday. I think it's the 6th, but you can look that up. Come see us and come visit my friend Natasha. Natasha's going to be dropping a little way to get a hold of her to me later on. So we'll publish that when this publishes, and you'll be able to talk to her like I have, and to discover what an incredible talent she is. That's probably about all for us. I'd best release you to your own recognizance. and thank you again. It's time to wave bye.
See you.
Bye, everybody. Let me find the end podcast button. There it is.